Chapter 13. At one time in my life, a shape-shifted, demonically possessed maniac crashing through a window and trying to rip my face off would have come as an enormous and nasty surprise. But that time was pretty much in the past. I'd spent the last several years on the fringes of a supernatural war between the White Council of the Wizards and the Vampire Courts. In the most recent years, I'd gotten more directly involved. Wizards who go to a fight without getting their act together tend not to come home. Worse, the people depending on them for protection wind up getting hurt. The second most important rule of combat wizardry is a simple one. Don't let them touch you. Whether you're talking about vampires or ogres or some other kind of monstrous nasty, most of them can do hideous things to you if they get close enough to touch. As even a lesser member of the Gruff Clan had demonstrated on my nose the night before. The prime rule of combat wizardry is simple, too. Be prepared. Wizards can potentially wield tremendous power against just about anything that might come along if we're ready to handle it. The problem is that the things that come after us know that, too. So the favored tactic is the sudden ambush. Wizards might live a long time, but we aren't rend-proof. You have to think ahead in order to have enough time to act when the heat is on. I'd made myself ready, and taught young wizards with even less experience than me how to be ready too, for an occasion just such as this. The coil of steel chain in my coat pocket came out smoothly as I drew it, because I'd practiced the draw thousands of times, and I whipped one end at the mantis thing's face. It was faster than me, of course. They usually are. Those two clamps seized the end of the chain. The mantis's jaws clamped down on it, and the creature ripped the chain from my hands with a wrench of its head and upper body quicker than thought. That was a positive thing, really. The mantis hadn't had time to notice two important details about the chain. First, that the whole thing was coated in copper. Second, that a standard electrical plug was attached to the other end. I flipped my fingers at the nearest wall outlet and barked,
"Galvanus!"
The plug shot toward the outlet like a striking snake and slammed home. The lights flickered and went dim. The Denarian hopped abruptly into the air and then came down thrashing and twitching madly. The electricity had forced the muscles in its jaws and clamps to contract, and it couldn't release the chain. Acrid smoke began to drift up from various points on its carapace.
"Wizard!"
Guard gasped. She gripped the wooden handle of her axe and tossed it weakly toward me. I heard shouting and the bellow of a shotgun coming from downstairs. It stayed in the background, unimportant information. Everything that mattered to me was nearly within an arm's length. The axe bounced and struck against my leg, but my duster prevented it from cutting into me. I picked up the axe. Christ, was it heavy. Hauled off and brought it straight down on the Denarian, as if I'd been splitting cordwood. The axe crunched home, sinking to the eye somewhere in the Denarian's thorax. The thing's convulsions ripped the weapon out of my hands and the plug from the wall outlet. The mantis's head whipped toward me and it screamed again. It ripped out the axe and came to its feet in the same instant.
"Get clear!"
Guard rasped. I did, diving to the side and going prone. The wounded woman emptied her assault rifle into the mantis in 2 or 3 seconds of howling thunder, shooting from the hip from about 3 feet away. Words cannot convey how messy that was. Suffice to say that it would probably cost more to remove the ichor stains than it would to strip and refinish the walls, the floor, and the ceiling. Guard gasped, and the empty rifle slid from her fingers. She shuddered and pressed her hands to her belly. I moved to her side and picked her up, trying not to strain her stomach. She was heavy, not like a sumo wrestler or anything, but she was 6 feet tall in her bare feet and had more than the usual amount of muscle. She felt at least as heavy as Thomas. I grunted with effort, got her settled, and started for the door. Guard let out a croaking little whimper, and more blood welled from her injury. Faint pangs of sympathetic pain flickered through my own belly. Her eyes had rolled back in her head. It had taken a lot to beat Guard's apparent pain threshold, but it looked like the visit from the Denarian and the activity it had forced on her had done it.